Welcome to Kalam, the Small Steps podcast where we try to showcase individual perspectives of recent graduates about different pathways of life. I am Hemant Bhatia.
And I am Arjit Singh.
And together, we will try to uncover what it means to have a traditional career.
This podcast is all about experiences. And before we invite our guests to share theirs, we thought we'd share our own. This episode is about us, who we are, what we've done in the past, and what we plan to achieve in the future.
This episode is going to be divided in two parts. The first part is going to focus on my journey, and the next is going to focus on Arjit. So, let's start the show.
Speaking of journeys, Hemant has had an interesting one. The creative student who has not only written screenplays, poetry, done painting, made films for national competitions, but also achieved a bachelor's in engineering, a field that is very different from what I know his hobbies to be. So Hemant, I'd like to start this conversation today by getting to know more just about the various places you've worked. Could you share with our listeners what was your first job and how has that transformed into what you're doing today?
Technically, the first job that I had, I just started a few months ago in February of this year. But I did have an internship after college. I decided to go for an internship rather than a job, which I already had for some personal reasons. But yeah, decided to go for an internship that was like 2 hours one side for a commute. But yeah, I thought it was a better decision for personal reasons again. The internship was 6 months, almost 6 months. And you could treat it as a job because I did that after graduation. I was working almost as a full employee. I was working with other employees and I felt I brought something to the table. So that was one thing. So it didn't feel like an internship, but I guess it just was one of the ways to pay me less, I guess. I'm not complaining right now, but yeah, that was quite helpful because I was at a point where I didn't know what I actually wanted to do. I only knew a few things. I was good at problem solving, but in development, you're thinking, okay, what other languages do you know? What projects you've done and something. So the internship was a safer choice to go and explore because I didn't have that long-term commitment. I could say that 6 months isn't that long. I was able to commute 2 hours away every day because I knew it had an endpoint. I knew I wasn't going to be commuting those 2 hours one side, one way for the rest of my life or for a lot of time. And not having that commitment set really helped my mental health as well because it didn't put a stress on me to actually, you know, get through it. I knew it was going to end someday. It was temporary. And I got to learn so many things I might not have if I went to the other job in the other place. So I think I know right now what I want to do for the next few years. So that's definitely something that I believe was the right step that I took. And right now I'm working as a front-end developer at a company, a CRO company. You're a designer, so we know you know of UX design and stuff. So what they do is give us a UX hypothesis and ask us, the developers, to develop them so they can test it out in the real world. And for someone who really enjoys UX, really fascinated by UX, and also loves that problem-solving aspect in development, I'm really happy with the job I have right now.
That's good to know, Hemant. And now, since you know I've known you since childhood, I would definitely like to tap into some of what your dad does and how, you know, you were never kind of inclined towards that. So I know that, you know, you kind of had a little bit of an interest for a while there in what your dad does, right? So I know that he has his own textile factory. Can you maybe touch up upon that and what kind of work he does and, you know, if you ever worked with him?
Yes. So my dad does have a textile business and, you know, growing up, I thought, okay, everyone here, you know, used to say, okay, you'll just go and join your dad's business. And you kind of start believing it growing up that maybe you'll have to continue the business. He wants you to take over the business when you grow up. So there was a thought in my mind, okay, if I want to study, like what can I study to provide something again to the table there in the business. Before graduating high school, I was looking at, again, there's textile engineering, there's this and that, that could maybe, you know, help the business a bit. But looking further into it, I decided that it wasn't for me. What I've read is like creativity has a few spectrums. So one could be entrepreneurial, or there's a business mindset maybe, and there's some other, you know, painting, where there are different spectrums to creativity. And more business related aspect of the creativity spectrum, I don't think I really fell into that. I decided like maybe I want to create my own path, or maybe I want to explore, you know, take a safer choice, engineering. I'll have 4 years. I can decide later on in those 4 years, maybe I don't even want to do engineering. I don't even want to do my dad's business. Maybe I want to do a third thing, right? So I had those years and I could explore, because I did at that time, obviously, had the luxury to explore. One of the summer breaks for college, I did decide to go for one internship, a kind of a thing, at a textile business related to it. I got to learn more about the business, but yeah, like I said, I knew it wasn't going to be for me. Enjoyed learning more about the business, understanding what my dad's business is exactly, but it still, I felt lagged the creativity and problem solving aspect that really needed to be.
What did you gain from that, right? So of course you said that those roles, or that role, wasn't as creative as you wanted it to be, but I'm sure you gained something from it, right? How was the work ethic? If there is anything else that you gained, what was that? Was it anything that you could maybe possibly relate to what you are doing today? And how do you make that connection?
So the main reason why I went into that internship, and why I personally like doing that, because of a more understanding of my dad's business and, you know, decreasing that gap between us in that sense. So that is a personal thing. But other than that, when I look into it, it was really my first experience working in a team with other players. You know, even when I was filmmaking, the teams that I had, or maybe working some other projects, we were all the kids the same age or something. You know, it wasn't like there's someone 10 or 15 years older than you with so much experience and exactly a mentor kind of a situation. Wasn't really there before for me. And I got to learn about that, and I knew how important that could be. And working as part of a team, doesn't matter in what aspect or what field you're working on, the team skills that you gain from one job to translate to the other. So I knew what it took to be a part of a team at the lowest level here, and I knew what it could mean in the next few jobs, even in this job, where I did have a few new interns working under me as well. So I think that was one of the reasons maybe I was able to better explain them stuff. I knew interns do have a lot of questions, and I was open to it because I got the same mentorship in that, you know, internship, which wasn't even related to tech. So it definitely helped me in that.
Awesome. So how do you find your mentors today? You know, in the past, of course, like you've said, that you gained some of that mentorship, if not mentors, at that other position. Do you believe in having mentors? And if yes, then how do you find your mentors?
So I guess I've been lucky enough to find the mentors at my workplace, wherever I've been. And some good ones, like they were open to help me. And even though, like I said, I started working in February at this new job, and by March we were working from home, so I haven't exactly had that much, you know, face-to-face conversation with them. But my seniors have been helping me. The directors of the company have been great, have been open, and have seen. And I think even though I've been working from home for most of my time here in this company, I feel like I've made quite a lot of growth working here. And yeah, for finding one, I really wouldn't know. I think it's about communicating with the person. Maybe you'll have to put that first step in, but don't worry about asking questions, because they are there to help you. Okay, it won't take them that much time. And if they help you that day for 1 hour, months later or something, they won't have to help you, and they are in the end going to actually save their time as well, because you did your work properly. So don't fear asking questions from anyone, from your seniors, even juniors. Like, a few problems, even though the solution might not come into your head at that moment, but it can come into someone else's mind. So it is a collaborative effort. Again, it's an effort. So just go and look out, and hopefully you'll find someone who's willing to help. Most of them are.
So there's actually a couple of things that come to my mind from that, right? So one of them is something that I heard from one of my professors who was talking about, you know, he mentioned this to somebody who was like ahead of us in college. He told that person that there is no junior and senior, right? So that's always something that sticks in my mind now, right? And I believe that everybody can learn from someone else. So it's not like, you know, whoever is coming into school after you is necessarily going to know less things than you. It's a balance, like you said, too. And I think that's something that always sticks with me. And I think should stick with a lot more people, because a lot of people just believe, you know, if people are coming in after them or something like that, it's just their juniors. But I think that's something that is a stigma and needs to break. And then the other thing that I kind of wanted to mention was with mentorship, you said that, you know, eventually the time that your mentors spend with you kind of gets less and less, just because they've answered so many of those questions with you or for you. And so I think what that kind of relates back to is saying that you outgrow, not just outgrow, but you learn from a mentor, and of course they're learning from you as well, but eventually, you know, it's time to, let's say that, okay, I have gained enough from you and I'm thankful for that, but it's time that I step out somewhere else and maybe look for something that I can gain something more from, right? And so it's always, I think it's always an aspect of what can you gain from a person at a time, and how can you move on? Of course, use that to the best of your ability, but move on, take that along, and then pass that on to somebody, but also, of course, keep gaining from other people. So those are the two things I wanted to mention. And then I kind of wanted to push back a little bit and go back to, I think, the second question of what we were talking about. And I think you mentioned filmmaking. So can you maybe talk about that and how you got into filmmaking, if there was ever, you know, a time that you thought that was going to be your career, and if any of your mentors maybe had a say in that, and why you should or should not go into that field and stuff like that?
So for filmmaking, what I remember, I've been watching films like my whole life. I think what you and our friends growing up all can say, if one thing that describes me, it would be, you know, I watch a lot of films. So yeah, I grew up watching films, and there was always an inclination towards filmmaking. But because filmmaking is, you know, a team activity, and I didn't have that many people around me who were interested in filmmaking as me, so I didn't really get into it in my school life. But once the school was over, once we were free from high school, I thought, okay, yeah, maybe I can give it a try. And I didn't want to do it professionally because, again, I thought I had an interest, but I didn't know if this hobby, a potential hobby, could be a potential career. I didn't know that. So I didn't go into any filmmaking degree or something. I decided for engineering because I felt, okay, I could do engineering as a safer choice again. And in those 4 years, maybe I can explore filmmaking on the side and see if it's something more than a hobby. Maybe I could find people that did share similar interests. Actually, for filmmaking, it was always a thing. I never really worked with seniors as much. We were always the same age. I didn't really have that mentorship in filmmaking. It is a creative field, so you know, we were just bouncing ideas off of each other. We were just going off from what we know and experimenting. But it wasn't about just filmmaking, I guess. It is a creative output that I was looking for. So the personal work that I'm doing right now as a front-end developer of working with UX designers, I do feel that that also is, you know, a creative outlet for me. So I'm using the same part of my brain for that as I'm doing for filmmaking. It's just the same. And maybe it's even better because communicating what I wanted it to be creatively with a team who are definitely my age, there wasn't a hierarchy there. So there are some problems with that, but now that, you know, there is a set hierarchy, you're more comfortable doing that. And there's so much more to UX design that I've even asked my directors and even the UX team to, okay, maybe you can teach me more and more while we're still working on it. And I think UX design is something that's similar, but for me, if filmmaking was 19 out of 20, UX and this front-end development, which I'm doing, has been that 20 out of 20 thing compared to that. So yeah, I would say I'm lucky for that.
Well, that's great, Hemanth. It almost looks like, you know, you found that little thing that always people are looking for, right? What is it? What is that thing that kind of makes you want to wake up every day, right? That kind of thing. And so it's great that you've found that, it looks like. And so with that, I mean, would you say that the jobs or the work that you do on a daily basis, like, would you say that's something that is satisfactory, or would you change maybe some things about that?
You know, as you previously said, a person shouldn't be stuck at the same place. You know, if you're still learning, you should. And I feel like I am still learning a lot of things a few months in, and I know I have a lot to learn. Not just the UX, which I do, but also, you know, coming as an engineer into a development, I still feel there's a lot more for my development growth here. And I will keep learning here for that. I know there's a future here till I learn. I don't know after that, but I do enjoy the work that I'm doing. It does fall under the service side of stuff. So we are working on multiple projects. I might have a big one that takes a week, but I might have some small ones that I'm finishing like 2 or 3 maybe a day also. So it really depends on, you know, the variety here, working with different people, communicating with different people around the world. Also, I think I do enjoy that. Again, that bringing of development and UX design, a creative field and more of algorithmic stuff and putting them together. You do need both of them in this job. It isn't something that is so readily available in other careers. And there are some even better futures in this job. We know about HCI, human computer interaction. So there is a lot of growth, which is still quite diverse in where you can go. So again, I'm learning, the company's great, but like, again, I'm not thinking that long, because I'm just committing to the point to where I know that I'll still grow. The person I was when they hired me and the developer I am now, I feel, you know, confident in my own skills, maybe which I didn't even had at that point. So it has been me just taking those small steps, those columns, and I just want to take those again. I don't want to make a big leap right now.
All right, Hemanth. So, you know, this podcast basically, of course, is about those small steps, right? So we are trying to see what, of course, you are doing right now, but what do you think, you know, might be beneficial in the future for not just you, but other people. So one of them, of course, the question that comes to mind is, do you see a future with a master's degree or future study in what you're doing? Or would you say that continuing to work in such a field and then, you know, just keep growing from that is what's more important? What would you say, according to you, is going to help you? And then what do you say a master's degree in a more specific field can also be something that can be beneficial?
So what I found is the knowledge you gain from going for a degree, be it bachelor's or even master's, what you get is important, but doesn't translate exactly to the industry. It depends on you how well you can translate what you get from that degree into the career that you have right now. How much can I learn being in the industry? It would depend on the future. I guess that decision I would need to make when I'm closer to that. But like I said, I'm still learning, and I know a few steps are there where I'll still be learning. So when I get closer to the decision, okay, maybe now I'll have to see if learning from the industry isn't providing me that growth that I really need. I might go for that master's and gain that knowledge. And choosing the right master's can help you even change career or the industry easily that normally you wouldn't be able to go directly into. So I might be able to go from a front-end development job to a UX design, but with the work that I have and even the personal time that we need, I don't think it is possible to create some UX projects or something on my own without the proper knowledge that I'm sure you've received as a designer. So it is a time-taking task, and going for a master's degree and getting the right mentors would probably be more beneficial in that sense.
All right, that makes sense, Amin. So one thing that you mentioned right now, and it is something that you had also mentioned in our survey, was that you were a good kid but a bad student. And that's something that I want you to touch up upon before we let you go here, because I think that's a very important aspect, right? So, of course, we've grown up together as best friends, but it would be great to hear what your perspective would be when you talk to other people about that. So if you could share something about that, that would be great.
So when I did mention, about being a good kid but a bad student, I meant like I wasn't exactly the best test taker there. I didn't exactly score well academically. I wasn't the one who was completing assignments on time. So if there was just a list, statistically speaking, I wouldn't be on the good side of that list. The funny thing is, graduating high school, even graduating college, you're like, okay, I don't have the best of grades right now. But when you do go for that interview, they'll just look at those grades. But it isn't exactly something that's really a part of the conversation. They're more into what's your potential. And grades don't necessarily define your potential. It's you. Even if you don't study, like you said, if you don't get the degree, and you can still show your potential through some other work that you did without ever going to college, you might still get that job. Obviously, I'm not saying the degrees don't help. They do provide you knowledge in a more efficient way. But for the industry, it's more about what's your true potential.
That is great, Hamers. That's great to hear. Now, I do understand that as a person who's also grown up in India, I do understand that parents usually have a big role in, what you're doing when you are at least, for the initial years of your high school or your middle school life, right? So how did that play out? Just because you've been mentioning stuff about grades and how, that wasn't something that was maybe like a strong suit for you. Did your parents ever push you for that? And what do they think about that now?
I think, my parents didn't exactly had a problem with grades to that point, because I wasn't like failing or anything. I was just around average. So I knew they were looking out for me. At that time, obviously, I didn't know what I know, that grades don't really matter to that extent, like we discussed. For one thing, my parents did relax after my older sister. They were a bit relaxed with me because they did know the toll it took on her in her high school days. And they were a bit relaxed with me. So I got to make my own decisions. I was responsible for my own decisions. This is a very big thing that I've grown up with, that whatever decision you make, you'll be the one responsible for that decision. A decision isn't, always just life ending. So there are small decisions, and you don't know how good a decision can be in the long run. But whatever you did, you need to take responsibility for that. And this is something that I'm grateful for my parents for teaching me, because the decisions I've made, I haven't looked back and thought that they were bad decisions. Whatever decision I took, I was like, okay, I've taken this decision and I'm going to go through it. Whether it be an internship, you know, 2 hours away and 4 hours commute every day, or be it even an internship just after college, a job that wasn't the most paying one compared to my other batchmates, and even filmmaking and or anything that I've done, because I know the decisions that I made, I am responsible for those, and those have come and connected in something that I'm doing right now. So I think it all worked out, at least till right now, but let's see what the future holds for us.
That makes a lot of sense, Hamish. So it's basically, you know, something that I focus on as well. It's about saying that, you know, the decisions that you make, actions, of course, are not something you can always control. But if you've controlled your decisions, hopefully you'll be able to control your actions. And then hopefully you'll also be able to control how you feel about them. And I think that's a great place for us to end this. And, you know, another thing that you mentioned was making sure that people are being inspired and people are, you know, understanding that grades aren't always going to be something that define who they are and what they do and what they're going to do in the future. And so that's where I want to leave our listeners today, and just basically make sure that, you know, hopefully somebody is inspired from what we've done today. And if you want to go out there and make your own podcast, and if you want to go out there and write your own book, and if you want to go out there and do whatever you want to do, it's always going to be about those small steps, you know, making sure that as long as you can hold yourself accountable for the little decisions and the little steps you take, in the long run, you'll be able to control those actions and you'll be able to control your input towards them. If you've taken an action, making sure that you're pushing your 100% into that to make sure that you're not going to be able to disappointing yourself. And that's what's most important. And so thank you so much, Hamish, for sharing your experience. I hope some of our listeners are able to extract that little bit of meaning, if not a lot of meaning, from this episode, and go out there and take those little steps and little actions that are going to be important in their life. This is your host, Arjit Singh.
And Hamish Bhatia.
And you've been listening to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast. If you found value in this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. And as always, let us know how we can make this better.
A traditional career is always untraditional. Thanks for listening.
See you in the next episode.